Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. John Engineering and producing our program. The program is Buckmaster, and it's Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. Now in our 14th year with the radio project, we come to you from Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, part of the Bustos Media Campus, where we have five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, which is also the place for our very extensive archive of material. A lot of content there, compiled over 13 full years. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and we will use the live line now to resume our every other month interview series presented by Pima Community College, which introduces our listeners to the dedicated educators and supporters of Pima Community College. With us on the live line, Jim Craig. Jim is the Academic Dean for Business and Information Technology. Jim, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Bill. Great to hear from you. How are you?
Doing well. You're on the front lines of an area where we really need, there is a shortage of iTech professionals. There is a shortage of people who are in the hospitality industry. And why don't we begin with hospitality and your Center of Excellence for Hospitality Leadership. How is that going?
Oh, it's going amazingly well, Bill. We've been building our Center of Excellence for Hospitality Leadership even through the pandemic, and I'm so excited to announce that we have just finished some key elements of our Center of Excellence. And just to back up and give our listeners some perspective, the Center of Excellence for Pima Community College is more than just a physical space. It's a combination of a physical space combined with great curriculum that's driven by the community and the needs of the community and our transfer partners at the university. It's driven by a spirit of providing and elevating our community with the underserved and bringing them up and raising them up into professionals that can get very high-paying jobs in a very short period of time. Being agile, it's being able to pivot and adjust things, like through the pandemic, for instance, and be able to deliver solutions at the speed of business, not necessarily at the speed of traditional education. So the Center of Excellence is a cultural shift, and it's also a way to really accelerate the needs of the community.
What are those needs? How many jobs do we need, and how many have you provided in that industry, and how's that transfer into revenue?
Well, the Tucson community overall accounts for about 40,000 jobs in the hospitality and culinary business, with around $2.8 billion in revenue. So, like you said earlier, it's a huge need. And so we provide dozens and dozens of graduates every year, and through our Hospitality Leadership Associate's degree, we have certificates in culinary, and we even have accelerated programs that we've used successfully in the past as well to really give the resorts, the restaurants, the hotels, everybody in town the types of employees that they need in order to grow and especially to recover since the pandemic.
Talk about these, that you've got a new bakery, a pastry kitchen, a remodeled grill. Where is all of this happening?
We're proud to announce that all those things are actually up and running and ready to be used. So at the Desert Vista campus, that's the center for our COE for Hospitality Leadership. We had an Aztec grill before, and that was a line kitchen. The students and the staff and employees at the campus could come to at lunch and have a really nice gourmet lunch with, say, an elevated Sonoran dog and two sides for very little money, you know, $5, $6, $7 at the most. And those meals would be prepared by our students. So they're learning the craft, they're learning their profession, and then the campus and the students and the employees get to benefit from that experience. We're just about to reopen that grill after a renovation. We've totally renovated it. We have all new equipment in there, and we're so excited to see that going to be start opening again this spring. And that's just one element of the Center of Excellence. You mentioned the bakery and pastry kitchen. This is a brand new facility. It's connected to the Aztec Grill and to our other kitchens. And this is a high volume, ultra modern bakery and pastry kitchen. It has all of the most modern elements that are found in the most top-notch kitchens and resorts these days, because students need to learn how to use those. Mm-hmm. It's not just about turning on the stove anymore, Bill. You actually have to program some of these ovens in order to produce the steaks on one row and the vegetables on another row and so forth. So it actually takes a fair amount of understanding of technology, as well as the traditional skills of knife skills and menus and the chemistry and the flavor for culinary to make this happen. But we just opened it. We just had a soft opening last Saturday, and if I can tell you about that event, that was phenomenal. We you may know we are a Tucson is a city of gastronomy. Tucson City of Gastronomy, one of the only cities of gastronomy in the entire country. And such a great honor for Tucson to have that designation. And this is through UNESCO. Across the world, there are other cities of gastronomy. And so one of our sister cities is in Parma, Italy. Mm. And they brought down two executive chefs from Parma, and we brought them to the Desert Vista campus and into the new bakery and pastry kitchen. And they demonstrated to our students and to some community members how to make authentic Southern Italian homemade tortellini.
Wow. Sounds delicious. Sounds fantastic. How about the Gospel Rescue Mission? You're working with them as well, aren't you?
Absolutely. One of the missions of the Center of Excellence and of Pima Community College overall is to reach out and to serve the underserved and to raise individuals up in the community that need some extra help. So what we've done is provided an accelerated culinary program for the Gospel Rescue Mission in their center of opportunity. And we go to them, we use their kitchens to teach their students, their residents who sign up for this program, everything about culinary, so that they get this accelerated certificate in just a matter of weeks, and they can then go out and get an entry-level job as a line cook or other types of culinary jobs and start their new career with their chin held up high and with pride and knowledge that they've learned some incredibly powerful skills that'll now propel them to a new career.
Jim Craig is with us talking about the culinary programs at the Center of Excellence on for Hospitality Leadership. Jim Craig, I've only got a couple of minutes left. Quickly, could you give us the overview? How are you doing with getting more trained high-tech people into the workforce in Tucson?
We're doing a great job, Bill. We've grown in enrollment from 2018 until now, 218%, which far outreaches the growth overall at the college and, frankly, the growth at any of the other colleges and universities. So we are providing the need. We're delivering on the results. We're listening to the community. We're even integrating and implementing some very high-tech, innovative pieces to the Center of Excellence, like far UVC cleaning, which is infrared light that doesn't cause cancer, but it kills 99.9% of the germs on the tables in the restaurant,
wow,
makes it COVID-free. We're even building advanced virtual reality curriculum for our hospitality learning lab. So our students will be able to experience what it's like behind the front desk at the Ritz-Carlton here in Tucson, or on the 99th floor of a five-star resort in Dubai.
Wow.
We can get that international training right here at home.
Yeah, Jim, going back to that, you know, you go to a restaurant and somebody comes along and cleans the table with a rag, you know, you don't and you're talking about this far UVC sounds really interesting. It would be like they would kind of zap the table and it'd be suddenly germ-free. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. And wow. it can even be done safely with customers in the room.
Wow. Because sometimes I wonder what's on that towel that they're using to clean the table. All right, Jim.
You're afraid to ask.
I know. Yeah. There's so much going on there. Where can people find out more if they're interested in either IT or any of the hospitality areas? What would be a good place to go for our listeners?
Yeah, just go to pima.edu and you can look at the Centers of Excellence and look it up that way, or just search on culinary or hospitality and you'll find us there too. So pima.edu.
Jim Craig, always a pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure for me too.
Jim Craig, the Academic Dean for Business and Information Technology, two very important areas, obviously, in the Tucson economy. And Jim does a great job over at Pima Community College. So we'll take a break right here. But first, Shelley Fishman's coming up after I talked. Well, it's kind of a neutral day when the thumb is out straight. But first, I want to quickly mention Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's, of course, is the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. They're open right now for lunch. They do, of course, a great breakfast, but they do lunch very well as well. And they are serving 6:30 in the morning. Steve and the team, they open the door, and everybody's rushing in to get their pastries hot out of the oven and have their coffee as well. monasdanishbakery.com. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Whether you've considered an all-inclusive luxury cruise, an expedition adventure, or a relaxing river cruise, come to Bon Voyage Travel's annual showcase on March 3rd at the Hilton El Conquistador. Presentations will be offered throughout the day to provide you a chance to hear more about these travel brands and their exciting offers. Bill Buckmaster and I will be teaming up to present the travel trends of 2024. Visit bvtravel.com for more information on Bon Voyage Travel's free showcase on March 3rd.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shell, how are you?
I am well, Bill. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank goodness. And so the market... Well, you know, we all pay very close attention to kind of the day by day, the waves, the ups and downs, but sometimes we don't think enough about kind of the long term, do we?
That's exactly right. So, you know, this market has reached all-time highs.
On pretty much all the indices, right?
Well, yeah, certainly the S&P 500 and the Dow. The Nasdaq was just under its all-time high. So, but, you know, just to give you some crazy numbers, as of yesterday afternoon, the Dow was up 51% from 5 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I arbitrarily chose 5 years because it you know, comes up on the charts. Yeah. The S&P 500 was up 74%. From 5 years ago.
Wow.
And the NASDAQ, what would you guess?
The NASDAQ, boy, I don't know.
How about 211%?
Oh, no, I would not have guessed that.
Over 5 years.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, and if you think back 5 years, we're in 2024, so that would have been the beginning of 2019.
Yeah.
So we weren't quite in the pandemic yet, and so it was just... You know, kind of on an upward slope. There was a really good article in Sunday's New York Times by Jeff Sommer, whose articles I don't always agree with because he tends to say, well, on the one hand and on the other hand, he doesn't take a position. But here he was talking about the market's peaks won't matter to long-term investors. And what he was doing here is presenting, in his own way, investing 101 at the undergraduate level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read it and I said, gosh, he put all of this stuff in this article that is just something that every newbie employee, every, you know, kid out of college, everybody who's just starting out on their careers needs to know.
And that would have been me back in the 70s. And I'm thinking about, you know, what if I had put a little money like in the mid 70s into the market. I didn't. I wish I had.
Yeah.
What if I had, Shelley?
So if you had invested $1,000 in 1976 in a mix of S&P 500, the NASDAQ, in 76, I don't think we had a NASDAQ. We had something like it. Or just an index fund. In other words, just tracking the basic numbers from 1976 to
tell
today.
Me I'd be a millionaire.
How about a millionaire 16 times over?
Oh, my goodness.
$1,000 in 1976 would have resulted in $16,145,000.
Oh, man. If I had that kind of money right now, wow.
Now, you think you could retire on that?
Probably.
So, one, now, some caveats.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could travel pretty well in style. Anyway.
There are certainly times during that period from 1976 to now that
the
market
downers.
Wouldn't have looked that good.
Yeah.
So, even though... You should be in it for the long pull, and you should not be looking at the markets daily or even monthly. You stick with the plan. As you get older and get closer and closer to the time you might want to retire, then it's time to sort of make things more conservative and make sure that your downside risk is not going to hamper your ability to retire. Because you know, in any given year, the market could drop precipitously. You know, in 2008, we had a 40 or 50% drop. Mm-hmm. So all of those 40 years of investing, and you watch 50% of it go away. But then from then to now, you know, it all comes back.
So but it would have been hard to see 50% of that go away.
It would have been hard. And that's why you have to cover your eyes.
Yeah.
Unless you have decided to retire that very year,
yeah,
or the next year.
Yeah.
And then you should have been managing away from it. So you know, if you just take a look, the S&P 500 grew at an average of 11.4% annualized. That includes interest rates or dividends paying in. Without the dividends, it grew at an annualized rate of 8.4%. And that's, of course, on average. Now, there's something called the rule of 72, and I'm not going to get into how that works, but it says that it takes 7.2 years at 10% average growth, which is slightly lower than the S&P 500 average growth, for your money to double.
Wow.
So in 7.2 years, if you had invested $1,000, at 7.2 years later, you'd have $2,000. Mm-hmm. 7 point after that, you'd have $4,000, mm-hmm, et cetera. So let's just go with an example that we can all relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime in the 1980s, Donald Trump inherited about $400 million
right
from his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my dad didn't leave me quite that much.
No.
And your dad didn't either.
No.
But...
And what did he do with the money? He went to real estate, right?
So he went to real estate. Mm-hmm. But had he just invested in a low-cost S&P 500 interest index fund...
Mm-hmm.
In the mid-1980s, with that $400 million, how much money do you think he'd have today?
He'd have billions of dollars.
He'd have over $12 billion.
Gee.
Now, he claimed to have 10, and most people said he was exaggerating wildly.
Yeah.
So had he just invested that money and not tried to—
All the drama of all the real estate, right?
All the drama of all the real estate, the bankruptcies and all of that.
Yeah.
He would really be as rich as he said he was.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't, and he's not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the power of compound interest. It's the power of having the foresight to look ahead and say, you know, if I get started with this program early, I can probably— make some sacrifices early on, then get on with my life, you know, buy a house and do those things, but leave the money in for retirement in there and just let it grow.
And don't worry about timing the market.
Oh, okay.
Market timing, right?
Yeah, so we talk about the S&P 500 having grown around 10 or 11% on average per year. What do you think the average American portfolio has grown on average per year?
Per year. I have no idea.
It's about 3.5%.
Okay.
You say, now, wait a second. The S&P has grown 10, 11%, but the average investor has only grown about 3.5%.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's wrong is market timing. Is the investors, you know, they get scared when the market goes down.
And they pull out?
They pull out. When it starts going back up,
they jump back in.
Yeah. So they pull out, you know, if they're lucky before the bottom, but they never get back in at the bottom. So what they're doing by trying to do market timing is, in effect, they're just missing the mark. Now, look, there are some times when, you know, some brilliant investors get it just right, but that doesn't happen consistently, and it almost never happens at all. So if you're, you know, for all of the 25-year-olds listening to this show right now, you know, get $1,000 somehow into your IRA, do it as a Roth so that it's after-tax money, which means you never pay another dime in taxes, even on the growth, and leave it there. And every time your company gives you a match or whatever, you know, dump it into that Roth IRA and never look at what it's doing.
And look at your low-cost mutual funds.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Low-cost mutual funds or exchange-traded funds that have very, very low management costs.
And wonderful track records. Some of these that have been around forever.
The big companies, they're absolutely dependable. If you can get into an S&P 500 fund or a Dow fund or a NASDAQ fund, and I do a third, mm-hmm. They're very low management fees because they're not managing anything. Mm-hmm. All they're doing is tracking the indices, mm-hmm. And then leave it there. And when you have a down day, forget about it. Forget about the fact that you lost some money that day. When you have an up day, don't celebrate too much. What you do is you say, here's when I want to retire.
Yeah.
I'm going to retire in 30 years. And so maybe in 20 years, I'll get an advisor mm-hmm. and start making things more conservative to make sure that I can retire when I want to. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea of getting started early and sticking with it
such a great formula.
So important.
Formula for success.
Yes.
All right. Shelly Fishman.
Painless success.
There you go. Always a pleasure, Shell. Thank
you
very
week.
Much. See you next week. Coming up next, Troy Hutchison joins us from GoAZCats.com. And my goodness, so much has been going on at the University of Arizona. The athletic director is out. All this stuff we've got to talk about with Troy coming up after we take a break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Looks like the rain may have let up for a while. Could be coming back this afternoon. Buckmaster on a Tuesday. This portion presented by Green Things and Zocalo Village Studios. 3384 East River Road for Green Things, right by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're loving the rain over at Green Things. And after the rain is through, perfect time to go by, get all of your gardening needs. Looks like we're going to have some great weather coming up for the weekend. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things in their 53rd year of business, and they're open daily. Our live line, we do our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. But right now we're going to be in studio, and I'm glad he is here today, Troy Hutchison, who contributes to our program, one of two dozen contributors, contributes on Wildcat Sports. So serendipitous to have him on today. He's from GoAZCats.com with all that's going on. Front page story about the athletic director, David Hickey. Dave Hickey is out at the U of A, and of course, all the news about what's been going on with the coach. You've been pretty busy, haven't you, Troy? Welcome back to the show, first of all. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it's.
I mean, you've been working almost 24 hours nonstop.
Yeah, no, it's nonstop the last, you know, week and a half or so, once the news kind of came out that Jed Fish was indeed interested in the Washington job. And now, all the way fast forwarding to here with Dave Hickey out as athletic director. A lot of change at Arizona, a lot of good change, you know, with the new head coach, Brent Brennan, who I've met and talked to, very genuine guy, and he has a good staff coming to Arizona. And
he's got the Tomey pedigree.
Very much so, and very similar in terms of character, in terms of, you know, just being a kind of stand-up guy
He seems like he's got a great family, a wife that went to the U of A, alum. Courtney, I believe her name is. So it looks like a great family, and I think it's a good move for UA. But let's begin with the kind of breaking news. You first heard about this yesterday, I assume, about the Hickey story. How did all this develop, please?
Yeah, you know, so Arizona sent out an email to the media saying that Dave Hickey was out as athletic director, would finish his tenure on February 2nd with former softball coach Mike Kendrea stepping in as the interim athletic director as they conduct a national search for a new one with the program. He thanked Dave for doing his job. It was kind of a weird statement.
Doing his job.
I forget the exact statement. I'm just paraphrasing.
Here's a guy that had been there 7 years. Yeah. Pretty darn instrumental over the last 7 years. Yeah. Look, he hired a well-liked basketball coach, a terrific basketball coach. Some of his earlier coaching picks, maybe not so great, but then he kind of hit a home run with Jed Fish. And then he hired Brent Brennan right before he's himself gets the exit. And we can say, I guess we can, that he's been fired.
Yeah, he is.
He's been fired, but it was like what made people think, well, maybe he resigned because it was like effective in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's, normally if somebody gets fired, they say, goodbye, I'm out of here. So you go ahead. Tell me how all this transpired or what you know.
Well, you know, unfortunately for Dave, with the deficit at the U of A, there will be an audit coming out that a other company did of the university, considering the, you know, $240 million deficit that they're in.
Right.
It was discovered that a large chunk of that is indeed, in fact, in the athletic department. I don't
really
know the exact number.
It's a big number.
It's a very big number. That's going to shock a lot of people when the audit does get announced. But that is obviously part of the reasoning in terms of football spending was pointed at. Women's basketball spending, oddly enough, was kind of pointed at too. But, you know, that's what happens sometimes at athletic departments is you're trying to play catch up and get caught up with what's going around across the nation. And sometimes you spend a little bit too much. There is a thing that Brett McMurphy, a very well-known and credited journalist that covers college football, put out that said there also was pointing to loss of donors potentially with Dave Hickey and the mishandling of Jed Fish's contract. I can tell you 100% that isn't true. A lot of donors in the last, we'll say 24 to 48 hours of the hiring of Brennan during that time, called the collective, donated a bunch of money. It was the most calls they had gotten in months.
Really?
Even since Jed Fish was on as head coach. And in terms of the contract with Jed Fish, they had an agreement in place of a five-year, $25 million contract, which was the highest you could go in the state of Arizona by state law. You can't go more than 5 years. You can't go more than $5 million. Jed agreed upon it, but he wouldn't sign anything that tied him with the university. They had that deal in place right around the ASU game. They had it done. It just wasn't agreed. It wasn't signed upon. It wasn't finalized. Kept on getting strung along, and all of a sudden, you're at Washington. So there was no long-term commitment from Jed Fish. He didn't want to be here. He wanted to be at a bigger program. He left for more money. And unfortunately, Dave Hickey is the fall guy for that, even though that is completely out of his control.
Wow. I've learned some things here. But so you're saying all the way back to the fall and the ASU game.
Around that time frame.
The pieces were in place
for long-term.
Long-term contract for Jed Fish, who was at the university for 3 years, that he decided it wasn't about the University of Arizona. It was about Jed Fish and propelling his career. And that had been, Troy, the knock on this guy when he was hired 3 years ago. When you look at his resume, he was like so well traveled. He hadn't been very long at any place.
14 jobs in around 17 years.
14 jobs in 17 years. So he did the 3 years at Arizona, and it really wasn't then about blaming Hickey for not producing a long-term contract. It was in place, and Fish gets things fell in place because the Washington football coach got the Alabama job, opened it up for Hickey.
Opened it up for Fish.
For yes, Fish.
Correct. And, you know, Humberto Lopez, obviously everybody's seen how frustrated and annoyed he has been. Jed shook his hand and said, yeah, if you get me that contract, I will stay anywhere but Florida, which was the understanding because Jed's a Florida guy. Everybody understood that.
Right.
So they agreed upon it.
But he told Humberto Lopez, a huge backer, donor of the university, he told him basically a straight-faced lie then by saying, you know, saying, I'm not leaving other than maybe Florida, but I'm staying at the University of Arizona. So then he does go up to Washington, and Bert Lopez is really upset, puts out a tweet that went national about a tweet to Fish. Did Fish ever reply to his tweet?
That I don't know. Okay. It was a text message that he put out nationally. But it kind of, you know, got Arizona the backing of Humberto Lopez to keep that roster together, not only through obviously NIL money. I mean, that's just the nature of the game now, but also guiding these student athletes through their careers past Arizona, past the NFL. And when you're talking about a successful businessman like Humberto, you know, HSL is very successful here in Tucson. So having that friendship for these players, it's going to be huge in the future. But at the end of the day, you know, for Noah and T-Mac to come back, it was
the two stars of the football team decided they're not going into the transfer portal. They're not going up to Washington, which people may not realize that I guess Fish and Noah, maybe their relationship wasn't all that great.
I think it's a good relationship, but if you look at Fish, because Noah and T-Mac will never talk bad about Fish. They love their former coach. But when you look at it, it was, if Jaden Delora doesn't get hurt, Jed Fish is still here in Tucson, because Jaden was going to be the starter the whole entire season.
Yes.
He remained non-committal to Noah throughout that process until he had no choice. They brought in Damon Williams, which, you know, you bring in high talent, iron sharpens iron. But how it probably would have played out is Delora is the starter for the rest of the year. He goes on and graduates.
And Noah would have probably transferred.
And then you have an open quarterback competition between the two during the spring. And then in training camp, you kind of figure out who your starter is. And who knows if that would have been Noah.
Yeah.
It might have been Damon Williams.
Yeah.
But it was never really committal to Noah. And I think that the university proved that they were. I think that the roster did. It was very clear that most of this roster, they were going to go where Noah and T-Mac were, because the Polynesian community is a very close-knit community.
Yes.
The moment that they decided they were at Arizona, that was it. Most of the roster was at Arizona as well. And more will be coming back soon that are in the transfer portal.
That's going to pay all sorts of long-term dividends for this football team next year as they go into the Big 12. One other thing about, before we take the break, that kind of bugged me, and I know through social media there was a lot of folks and fans who are just not happy with the way the Fish thing played down.
Yeah.
The Washington athletic director flies down from Seattle, and he goes up to Coach Jed Fish's home in the foothills, and they're filming, the Washington people are filming the whole thing, and they do the signing contract in Jed Fish's kitchen here in Tucson. It's a bad look, you know, come down to Tucson. Why not just Fish go up to Washington, do the signing up at Husky Stadium with all the Seattle media up there, but then to put that out on social media, Fish signing, it's classless to do it that way, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, and I get where that's coming from, and to Fish, to in somewhat Fish's defense, he's not the one that put out the video, the athletic director is, but you know what's going on.
Yeah. If the athletic director shows up at your home and he's got the contract and they're, you know, they're filming.
Arizona did go out to San Jose State. They signed the contract out there at Brett Brennan's home. They took the photo and said they got their man. That's usually what happens, but usually you don't have a video with their former team's logo hanging in front of the door. You saw the U of A logo in the signing. Yeah. That was a little over the top, but it's very common for ADs to go out and get it.
Kind of left a bad taste in my mouth anyway. Troy Hutchison sticks around. Got a lot more to talk with Troy. We'll take a break. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Tuesday afternoon.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, one of our great sponsors, they're all great sponsors, is Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive over to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Start your planning now for a trip over to Silver City, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org, O-R-G, all sorts of great information that will tempt you, some of those outdoor activities, the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, the Gila National Wilderness, and there's great places to stay. And some of those New Mexican restaurants, really good food in Silver City. So check it out, southwestnewmexico.org. Talking Wildcat sports with Troy Hutchison. No shortage of things to talk about. Troy from GoAZCats.com. So before we move on to the Brent Brennan era now starting for the University of Arizona football, one other thing that kind of bugged me and other longtime supporters and alums of the University of Arizona, Coach Fish went on a very prominent sports talk radio show, the Jim Rome Show. Mm-hmm. And he was asked about, well, are you looking for another job? And Coach Fish said, oh, no, I've moved so much. Basically, we're done moving for a long time. I'm at Arizona to stay. Something like that.
Yeah.
That bugged a lot of people. Especially since the contract had been in place, from what you're telling us, that goes back to the ASU game when they started putting all of this together. But he went on the Jim Rome Show in early January saying, you know, I'm staying.
Yeah. And so, just a few short days later, he's
it's
gone.
Just, you know, it's just not being transparent,
no.
Let's put it that way.
No, and unfortunately, not only college football, you can throw in college basketball, college baseball, college softball, just sports in general.
Sports about the money maybe, huh?
Maybe a little bit about that, but you see a lot of coaches try to save face with fan bases, with media, with, you know, just the university itself, making sure they show that they're committed. And a little bit in fairness to Jed, if you go on that show and go, I don't know, da-da-da-da-da, then you're going to start to have friction within the team, like, oh, is Coach leaving?
That's true.
Okay, I'm going to enter the portal now. I'm going to enter the portal.
Yeah.
So it just creates a little bit of a downward spiral, and you got to prevent that from happening.
Yep, good point, Troy Hutchison. So the Brent Brennan era, he comes over from San Jose State, but his brother played for Coach Tomey, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he has connections kind of to the Tomey family. Tomey's son, Rich, I believe, likes him very much. So I guess we could say he's of the Tomey disciples, pedigreed.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, he was a GA under Tomey during the 2000 season. He spent time with Coach Tomey there. And, you know, not only Coach Tomey, but Coach...
he was with Tomey. Yeah. That's right. He was part of the kind of the coaching staff as a young...
As a GA.
Yeah. Okay.
And he talked about that, you know, kind of having to make ends meet while his wife was kind of, you know, leading the way, and he was having fun with football, and they're living in Tucson. And
so he's at San Jose State. He doesn't have that great a success, but having worked in San Jose, I spent 8 years anchoring the news at one of the TV stations there. I know a little bit about Spartan football, and it's a very, very difficult place to win at San Jose State, because you've got every imaginable attraction just up north. You know, you got the Niners, you got Stanford, you got Cal. So San Jose State has always kind of been sort of the stepchild. But he did some winning there.
Yeah, no, honestly, the record doesn't display how great of a job he did at San Jose State. I know, you know, what was it, 38-48 doesn't look great. But if you look, 3 out of the last 4 years, San Jose State has been in a bowl game. The fourth year, they were 5-7, 1 win away from a bowl game. Mm-hmm. They've won the Mountain West twice. Mm-hmm. He's been Mountain West Coach of the Year. They hadn't had back-to-back winning seasons before he got there in over 30 years into the early 90s to late 80s. So just looking at that program, that's an incredible job.
Yeah.
The facilities at the time when he got there were on the high school level to be, you know, quite
great. I've been in Spartan Stadium. I know
that
their facilities.
They were able to upgrade them underneath Coach Brennan. I think you probably saw some of his former players and administrator there show what was there before.
Yeah.
And what was
there
after.
It was a glorified high school stadium. It really was.
And now, you know, you get a chance to go to Arizona. You did a great job there, and you have all the facilities you need.
And all the players, pretty much all the players are coming back. So he'll have a lot of success. Whether he wins the Big 12, I don't know. But, you know, I just want a guy that's a stand-up guy, an ethical person. And I think I speak for a lot of alums who feel, you know, winning is not the kind of the end all. You are dealing with young people, and you want somebody that's just a real stand-up guy, and it looks like he's that guy.
Yeah, you know, and it's not only from players, fans, alumni. I've talked to several alumni that absolutely love this hire.
Yeah.
Donors and boosters. It's also in the athletic department itself. Talked to several people where it's just a different atmosphere.
Morale
around the
is
U of A.
Up, I imagine.
Until the day
gets fired.
But in terms of the football facilities itself, the people around the program, they said, man, this is just a different atmosphere than what has been here the last 3 years.
And Brennan is, there's going to be a special meeting of the Board of Regents, I think, on Thursday to kind of finalize his contract. And I see in the Star today, they came up with another $600,000, sweeten the pot a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So he's got a fairly decent money package.
Yeah, and it's not the number that Jed Fish was going to get of the 5 years, 25, but it's a nice starting base. I think it's larger than what Fish got to start at Arizona. Shows that you have the backing of the boosters and the donors and alumni, and it gives you a nice kickstart to your college coaching career at Arizona. You have the roster. You have great recruiters that are going to be on his staff coming in from San Jose State and across the country. They have whatever they need in terms of keeping the direction of the program the same in terms of the success and building upon it.
Very little time left. How about basketball with the NCAA tournament coming up? What are you looking at?
Yeah,
you're
going
to have to make it really quick.
A team that's just gone through ebbs and flows of the season, they're going to hit, I think they're going to hit the stride when they need to. Have a lot of veteran leadership. Tommy Lloyd's a great coach. To me, this is still the best roster in college basketball. They've had their ups and downs, but people will see that come March.
And I'm sure that some of the sports predictions, bracketing, is that already starting?
Yeah, and the latest bracket, I think I saw Arizona on the 2 line, said there'd be a 2 seed in the West, but I think by the end of the day, Arizona will be a number 1 seed in the West.
That's your prediction?
Yep.
And for the Big 12, the football team next year, you saying maybe they'll should win about 8 games?
Yeah,
eight or nine.
I think
go to a good bowl.
Yeah, 7-5 at the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know what happens with injury, but I think it's going to be a great kickstart to Brett Brennan's career, and they'll be at a very good bowl game.
How about goazcats.com? Tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, you know, right now at GoAZCats.com, part of the Rivals family and networks, we are very busy over there getting you Dave Heeken news, coaching hiring news, players staying, nonstop basketball, potentially extensions for Tommy Lloyd. It's a nonstop news information site for you over there. We have message boards with very high-level information, so it's a great place to be. There's a lot of Arizona Wildcat fans there that express their love for the university, and they just share their opinion, and we lay out all the info, and it's a great time.
Troy Hutchison, thank you very much, Troy. All right, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon, everybody.